You are listening to the Senior Agent Podcast. This podcast is for insurance agents that are helping America's seniors with their financial choices. Here is your host, Christopher Westfall.
Happy Saturday morning to you. It is a beautiful day in South Carolina. It may be raining on the outside, but it's an exciting day to be alive. And yesterday was a very hard, exciting, fun day. I got to help in a very small way. Eugene packed up his house. He's moving to the Charleston area from Columbia, about 2 hours away. That was a fun adventure, and why I want to hire movers for the rest of my life, because that is quite a challenging expedition. But I want to share with you one thing that has come up in a support ticket this week. As often they do, the best topics to talk about for the group at large. One of the things that came up in St. Thomas that I will be re-engaging with in Nashville is this overwhelming fact that as independent producers, we often feel isolated. We feel like we're working our own little dojo, whether it's in your house or whether it's in your office. You feel like you're alone, that you're the only one working in the industry. And all the challenges that you face, sometimes they feel overwhelming because you feel like you're the only one experiencing that. And you don't have anybody to share that experience with. So one of the reasons why I've decided, contrary to what I said 6 months ago, that I didn't want to do any live events this year, because they are very taxing on the staff to put these things together. And it's very challenging to put together a presentation, take off work, close the office for me anyway, being there, and go and do this live event. But it's very rewarding in the following way. It's good to reinforce to the agents that are out there doing this on their own that they're not alone. There are a lot of people challenged with the same struggles that you are that have found solutions that maybe you haven't discovered yet, that by coming together collectively, we can do that and find solutions. So that was a good, exciting part to me for these agents to come together and share ideas, to commiserate, for lack of a better word, and to collaborate on how they've gotten through some things. So one of the things I want to talk about today is a common theme that happens with agents who I found are struggling, and they struggle for, they struggle for often the same reason. This agent wrote to me, and I don't want to expose in a negative way this support ticket and the fact that he reached out. I think it's a great thing that he did, asking where the hole is in the business and why no new clients are really being added. And it's a very common thing that other agents are either too timid to ask, and then they fail and fall away and disappear. Or they don't have anybody to ask. So they would if they could, but they just can't. And so many times the agents won't go to the discussion forum and ask what other people are doing because they think, well, maybe they're all getting it and I'm just missing it. So the support ticket went something like this. Hey, Chris, I've been putting videos out on YouTube about once every month or two. And I've been writing blog posts on my website and nobody's calling on the phone. What am I doing wrong? The other things that he cited that he's doing is sending emails to current clients. And there was one other thing that was like writing an article for something or another. So my question back was, how many people have you talked to on a daily basis that are prospects for what you sell? And it kind of came back on a void. You know, I'm doing all this activity that's in a bubble, because if you write something, if you produce something, if you edit and publish a video, but yet there are no eyes coming to it, there's no distribution for your content, then it really falls on deaf ears. The old axiom of if a tree falls in a forest and no one's there to hear it, does it even make a sound? The same is true with internet marketing. If you just put something out there for the sake of putting something out there, checking it off in your list that you did something in a void, and yet you've got nobody watching it, you're not actively spending 90% of the time, not on content creation, but on content distribution to get in front of those right people, then you're really wasting your time. So that's really just a tiny component. And the methodology that he's implementing, which is online marketing, is a viable methodology. It's something that could work. The challenge is that's not all you can do. You can't just rest on your laurels and think, well, I published an article this month or I put out a video last month. And in this particular case, the follow-up on that marketing, and again, through distribution, was not there at all. In most of the videos that he's put out, he put 10 videos in 10 months. And the early videos had a link to a website, and that website did not work. It did not resolve to the new website that was made. So again, I don't want this to make it feel like to this agent that I'm calling you out and exposing what you're doing as ineffective and dumb and the wrong thing to do, because it's a very, very common problem in our industry is agents will go and do activity and spend all their efforts on activity. And this, I would challenge, was not much activity because it was just in one finite space on the internet. But we'll go do all this activity. It's not generating any prospects to talk to. And rather than diversify and go all in with a different method, and I really believe that you've got to diversify and do a whole bunch of different things all the time. If you're not diversifying, if you're all going in on one thing and it's not getting any results, you got to stop and pivot, adapt and overcome. You got to change what you're doing. Otherwise, you'll die and you'll go broke. And this is something that I've not said before. And somebody mentioned this, Chris mentioned this, I believe in St. Thomas. And that is, I sometimes do things that other people think that since you're doing it and that's what you're doing to get leads, that's what I need to do to get leads, and that's my path too. I'm just going to copy what you're doing, and I'm going to go do it for myself. And many people in the FMO world will tell you that there is only one path. They've heard of one path. They're not even actually out there selling. But they've heard one thing works, and it's whether it's direct mail or telemarketing or internet leads through their vendor or whatever. But some people are just not geared to do whatever that is, especially if it's relying on you 100% as the brand. Some people can't do video, and that's okay. Some people can't do telemarketing, and that's okay. That's why I always say outsource that junk to somebody who loves the rejection, which is 99% of what they get. It's rejection, but that's the name of the game. That's the numbers game. So get yourself out of it if you don't think that you can do that effectively. There are other people you can hire very inexpensively, but that's literally what they've done their whole lives. And because it's you being a third party, they're not emotionally attached to the result. They don't care. They're happy to get leads for you. They're happy to get that 1 out of 100, and they'll do their job. They'll clock in, clock out, and they're done. So if that's not for you, if video creation is not for you, don't do video. If you're the one that gets in front of the camera and you feel like you're just pulling teeth and you're just so nervous and everything, you're just shaking and you can't get over that and you can't do it, pivot and get out of that medium because that's not your vehicle. We're all gifted in certainly different ways. We're all complete different characters, different shapes, sizes, colors, religions, backgrounds, skills, and abilities. And you really have to find what your strength is. You know, one of the people we talked to in St. Thomas is a super fantastic, freaking awesome analytical and business mind. He's an operations dude. And I struggle with a lot of those things. And I wish sometimes that I was better in a certain area. But what I've come to realize is in the business world, you really have to know where your strengths are and the things that you're not good at, you're not gifted at, and you can't develop the skill through learning at. You need to jettison those things and put somebody else in the driver's seat so that they can blossom in their gift. You know, there's a partnership, and I won't call out their name. It's a brother and sister team, and I like them very much because not only are they personable, but they share. They share what's working. They share where their struggles are on these company trips. And we're talking in Miami at the Aetna trip a couple of weeks ago, and the brother is the operations guy. He's all numbers. He's all, you know, contracts. Let's get that extra point where we can. Let's fix the problems where we can. He interfaces with the carriers to get the very best deal and to fix problems and to hire and do internal management stuff. And then the sister in this organization, they're very successful. She is allowed to flourish in her gifts, which is being a people person. She's the face of the business. She works on the business by working in marketing, and everything comes through her. Now, similarly, at the Gordon marketing trip that we had in Dominican Republic last year, there was a similar team there. There was a husband and wife team. And she said, if I don't do the right thing with marketing, then nothing else happens in the background. But she has an operations person that works in the business on making it work. So I think that if you are an agent and you're struggling in one place or the other, and you're finding that your gift and your talent and what you've been brought up for your entire life has been taking you into one path or the other, I just want to encourage you to go after your gift. Find somebody or something else that complements where you are, where you're struggling, and fill that void, not by what you're trying to do, which is outside of your personality, but get somebody to come into that area with you and be equally yoked with you in the business working within their gifts. And by going side by side, you can pull the business together because you're the operations person, then you've got somebody that's the sales face, or vice versa. If you're the salesperson and you are really horrible at business generation, then you need somebody to be equally yoked with you moving forward. Now, normally I'm against partnerships because that's usually the ship that sinks first is the partnership. But many times I've seen with agents that they just don't excel in a certain area, and that's okay. You're not supposed to be all things to all people. As an entrepreneur, when we're first starting, I had to take out my own trash. I had to go to the store and buy waters for my business. I had to do everything, turn the lights on, pay the water bill, generate leads, close the business, qualify the people, do all that stuff. And we often do as an entrepreneur. But I just want to share with you that if you struggle in one area, that's okay. It's completely freaking normal as a person to not have all the giftings in one area, but you have to reach out. So I go back to here, we had this collaboration opportunity in St. Thomas, and we're all talking about where we're doing good and where we're struggling in our businesses. And it's a great opportunity to do that. And I really look forward to doing that at our next events. The next one's going to be in Nashville at the end of July. And that event already was full within 12 hours. And we're trying to expand capacity so we can have more people come. We're waiting on the hotel to get back with us and see if we can get big. I don't want to make it too big. And I already said that before. Kind of sounds like a sales pitch. I don't want it to be too big, but I legit don't. We had too many people in Charleston. And while I love them, it was too many people that we could not interact and get to know people on a personal level. So I don't want it to be 100 people. Anyway, more news on that later. But it's an opportunity. If you don't come to our event, come to somebody's event. I'm going to two other events with two different FMOs in the next couple of weeks. Next week is in Dallas, going there for a meeting with other agents and call centers, then going to another event in Omaha, Nebraska. The next week, I'll be speaking at a small part of that, but really getting to meet other people from other backgrounds that are doing the same thing we're doing. Those are private events with two different FMOs, but it's always a good opportunity to get in the room with other people that are successful, or they're at different levels of success, and you can share ideas together. So I'll go back to the beginning since some people missed it. If you're an agent that's putting all your eggs in one basket, whether that's online marketing, whether you're good at it or not, whether it's all telemarketing or whether it's all relying, this is the worst one, relying on somebody to produce all of your leads for you. That's the worst possible, weakest position to be in this business. You're relying on somebody to generate your leads for you. I encourage you to get out of that mode, start learning what's necessary to create your own leads or partner with somebody who's talented and gifted and experienced in doing that and working more together with them rather than a transactional relationship where it's you buy leads at X number of dollars, work together where they're invested with you in the success of your business. I got another email this morning. Somebody tried lead Smarty Pants or Superheroes or something like that. And the quality of leads was very, very low because as they listened to the recordings, all these telemarketers were interested in is, you're on Medicare, right? You want us to call you, right? Okay, good. Yes, goodbye. And click. And yet they're selling these leads on a transactional basis that the agent is paying so much per lead, but the value is gone. There's no incentive there on the quality of the person. Are they really interested? Or did they just hear yes, 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 okay, and hung up the phone and then now it's sold to you as this exclusive, you know, fantastic lead opportunity? It's far better to take ownership of your business's lead generation to the point that you control the quality. I would rather have two conversations in a day of people who are qualified, interested, and I can sell them something. We can go somewhere because they're really interested in talking to somebody as opposed to somebody who just said, you know, I'm breathing on the phone. Let me transfer that in. That's a lead. Boom, sold. Give me your credit card. Those things are just about useless. So as you mature in the business, this is my personal experience. This is where I came from. As you mature in the business, you want to take more and more ownership of the lead generation so you can control the quality. Only then can you start putting in scale into the quality, getting somebody between you and the prospect, really you and the lead, to see if they're even a prospect. A prospect is somebody who is interested and has the capability of buying. If it's just a lead on the other end of the phone, you really don't know that. So I encourage the next step to be, as you're growing to scale, have somebody in between you and the lead who's indicated some level of interest to see if they're in fact a prospect. Can they buy something? Are they still on an employer plan and will be until the time that they die? Are they on Champus? Are they on a vet and they're doing the vet stuff for all their benefits? Are they on a spouse's plan and they will be forever? Those are people you don't necessarily need to talk to. Are they on a Medicare Advantage plan? And they could not possibly go to a Medicare supplement even if they wanted to right now. Those are things that you shouldn't be talking to. And, you know, we go back to Mike Brooks and the top 20%, where he analyzed the top 20% of phone salespeople. He found that the only thing that separated the top 20% from everybody else was their ability to qualify as early in the conversation as possible. Why? So that you don't go through what I started at the very beginning, thinking that mere activity is what's going to separate the successful from the unsuccessful. It's not merely being active. It's being active with qualified prospects who have the ability to buy from you. That is the difference. When you're active and talking in front of those kind of people, you are going to be knocking them down all day long. I was riding with my son CJ yesterday, and he was telling me he went to help move yesterday, my friend. And he was telling me that he was looking at an email from last year when he was writing to somebody else in the industry. And he said, I did 19 apps this week that were MedSup and 5 dental vision hearing plans that week. And he's like, man, we were killing it during this period of time. And that's absolutely true, because the people that we were talking to were qualified prospects that were coming in, you know, from internet marketing, busy time of the year and all that good stuff. But now, you know, in a different season, he's doing the telemarketing thing and he's having to prospect those people, qualify those people to see if they're prospects. And now he's getting somebody in the middle of him versus the lead. So you can only talk to the qualified people. As you're scaling, if you're doing telemarketing, if you're scaling from 2 to 5 or 2 to 7 telemarketers, which we're seeing a lot of right now, the only way you're going to be able to handle that influx of leads is if you have somebody in the middle. And I know it's a struggle. I know it is a faith move. It's just like, you know, saying that you're going to have a room full of 50 people and you haven't created the content specific for this event yet. It's stepping out in faith and saying, you know what, book the hotel. Yes, I'm on the hook for $25,000 in hotel rooms. Yes, I'm on the hook for the venue, for the food, for all the stuff for our people. We're flying our people in from the office. It's a big gamble, but you have to in this business. If you are a business person, you have to step out in faith. Faith is the substance of things not yet seen. You can't see it yet. All you need to know, and this is something that my son CJ, he frequently will throw my words back in my face. And he said yesterday something that's so ironic, that one thing that's really helped him through the struggle of being an independent entrepreneur with no support, no help from anybody else, doing it on his own, is when I said to him these words, CJ, you know how to sell. You know how to present to somebody. You know how to help people. Your heart is in the right place. All you need to do is turn your brain off. Don't overanalyze crap. Don't worry about what's coming out, the newest product, the latest product, this plan, that plan, who's paying the most compensation. Can I get one more point? Let me chase that FMO. Let me chase that contract. Forget all that stuff. Put it all behind you. It's like Rush Limbaugh says, with half my brain tied behind my back. And I told him this story, and this is where the principle came from. When I was doing final expense life insurance, and I was a cop by day and doing final expense on my days off, and I would go to these people's houses, and I'd sit there, and the cockroaches would run all over the floor, and the temperature was 100 degrees in the house because we're in the middle of Florida in the summertime. It was miserable. It was horrible. Never do it again. During that time, I learned the principle of I could either try to be a social worker, you know, and try to get, you know, the health department to come in and see if they need to go to an assisted living facility, or try to get somebody to help them mow their lawn. And one time I paid for this house. The cockroaches were literally running up the wall behind me, and I paid to have a company come and tent the house and fumigate this house from this person because they wanted to buy life insurance to protect their grandkids that they were raising. And they couldn't afford to do that. They couldn't afford to do anything in their house except barely pay for food. But they wanted this insurance and they needed the insurance. So they bought the insurance. They stepped out in faith. So what did I do? I anonymously had the bug company set up the deal and come there and tent their house. Because my point is, you just got to put everything else out of your picture except focusing on what the business is of selling. And to the extent that as in wear every hat you possibly can, entrepreneur, you can. If you focus on your gift, and if it's compassion for people, if that comes out, you make sales. If you're finding that when you do get somebody on the phone, they're going to buy from you because you're personable, you've got that gift and you've worked to excel that skill set, then that's all you need to be doing. Eliminate every possible other distraction and focus on the one thing that you're good at, and your business will freaking explode. It will explode. So that's what CJ was saying when he threw my words back in my face, which was, look, put everything else behind you. Don't focus on anything else right now. And just be stupid simple about talking to the prospect. Focus on them. They'll understand if you're multi-distracted and you're multitasking and you're like, oh, what did you say about that? Did you say, was that a buying signal? Did I hear you right? If you have to put blinders on so that you're merely focused on what they're saying and you've got a headset in your ear, that's what you should do. Because there's nothing more important than, in my opinion, and I'm a salesperson, so I have to say this, my personal opinion is there's nothing more important than being on the phone with a qualified prospect. That's how you grow your business. But again, if that's not your skill set and you recognize the opportunity of the industry, find someone whose gift is being able to convince anybody of anything. My wife and I were having one of those private spouse conversations this morning where we're just really real about life. And I love those. And I said, you know, I should have said this in St. Thomas to those people, because when we had our social evening, the night of the event, it's really awkward when I'm in a group of people, because as Dave Duford and I were talking about this morning, he and I both are introverted people. And believe it or not, I'm doing a video here about it, but it's true. When I'm in a social setting and I'm there with other people, as much as I might like them, as much as I really want to be friends and friendly with everybody, I'm just a real awkwardly social person. And I get in other social settings with people in our industry who are completely different, and they've got the gift of gab. And like my wife, Nicole, and I shared this with her. It's no mystery. Every time she goes into a room, she lights up the room and people love her. They're attracted to her talking to them. And she's got such a zeal for life and a zest for just stirring up the room, and everybody loves her and they come to her. I don't have that. And Kevin was here in Charleston, and he was at our live event that we had here, and we all went to Grimaldi's Pizza. And I'm sitting at a table with, 15 or 20 agents, and I don't know what to say in a social setting. I'm the most socially awkward person there is. So to the people who came to St. Thomas, if you're watching this after the fact or watching it now, I'm just going to admit to you, the reason why I didn't come up and talk to everybody afterward and be that social butterfly that you're supposed to be in insurance is because that's my biggest weakness. I do not have the gift of social interaction. I try to fake it till I make it, practice it till I perfect it, but I just don't have that gifting. I'm not that sanguine personality that can just, you know, be the life of the party. I've never been that. I was a complete nerd in school, no surprise, but that's just not my gift. So I surround myself with other people who are that way. I specifically, I chose a partner in my business, one of my businesses who's great with people. And just like Nicole can, you know, strike up a conversation with anybody, and people love them because that's what we need in the business. My office manager came with me on the St. Thomas trip. Why? Because she's great with people and she can do that personal interaction with people that I'm not good at. I'm not gifted at. So I know my weaknesses, but I try to supplement my weak spots by having people around me, and that's their gift. So I just want to encourage you. You don't have to be all things to all people. When you're starting off, you have to struggle through things, but when you're making any amount of money at all, or if you can beg, borrow, or steal the money to get you through to the part that you can have somebody tasked with you, walking forward together, you know, and I've mentioned this a million times, it's so true. I hear this every day in my head. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. It's not, and I've said this before too, it's not all about you. It's about how many people can you impact by going through your gift. Your gift is different no matter who you are. And if you can fully exercise your gift that God gave you, and hopefully you're trying to hone by increasing your skills in that area, there's nothing that can stop you. There's no limit in this niche that we chose of Medicare. We're building residual income with everything that we do, unlike term life insurance and some property and casualty sales that you can make and some final expense things that are out there that present really no residual walk away long-term income. This niche right here, if you're good, if you're bad, if you're mediocre, you're still going to kill it. You're going to make a great income because it all compounds on top of each other. That's why I chose Medicare supplements. as socially awkward as I am and unable to have, you know, personal conversations to the point that I am, I struggled through that part because I can be anonymous on the phone. They don't really know who I am. They don't know my weaknesses on the phone. They don't know how awkward I would be if I was sitting in the same room with somebody. Nick Williams said recently on one of his videos, and that's the Medicare millionaire who probably has never seen $1 million, bless his heart. Great guy, but his channel is called Medicare Millionaire. I'd love to compare 1099s with him on really who is, but Nick said that the reason why people sell over the phone is because they're ugly. And only ugly people can succeed selling over the phone. Well, I want to publicly challenge that right now. You should see the people in my office. They're highly attractive, super skilled, awesome salespeople. And the people that I met on this trip, very attractive, nice people from all over the country. And if you think that the only reason somebody can succeed over the phone is if they're ugly, what a stupid position. What a stupid, arrogant, condescending, failure coming through as insecurity position to have. And I'll challenge you right back and say that you can succeed on the phone no matter what your weaknesses are, socially or otherwise. You can increase your ability to do what's necessary to build a $2 million a year business legitimately without having to brag about how much you make or don't make by just doing the right thing and trying to help people. If your heart's in the right place and you get people to make up for your weaknesses where they are and you're honest about every step of the way, then you absolutely can build a $2 million a year business. So here's an open invitation to people who don't think it can be done. Drop into my office at any time. We can't stop what we're doing. We can't, you know, stop and go over everything that we do from A to Z. But you're welcome to come into my office and see how it's done on a daily basis. Somehow, when you just see other people do what they claim can be done, in your own mind, you don't think it can be done. Somehow, sometimes by seeing that actually being done, then it breaks through the chains in your mind of thinking that that's impossible. You can't write that many applications. You can't possibly build a business on that. Yes, you can. And to the people who have to see it before they can believe it, again, we can't stop what we're doing to go over the nuts and bolts. That's already on the website. And we're happy to do it through support tickets and meeting you where you are. But if you don't think it can be done, come to an office like mine. Come to a call center like they're all over the country, Indiana, Dallas, Myrtle Beach, Florida, all over the place. Ask somebody if you can come into their call center just to see if it can be done. Hear the buzz of applications taking place. Hear the laughter of your team interacting and working in their gifts to help people over the phone and put them in a comfortable place where they can get the best insurance at the best possible price. It's life-changing to see that kind of thing happen because then you can walk away and go, wow. It really can be done. And Nick, to it can be done by attractive people too. So, you know, there's another video that came out recently talking about the justification for windshield time. Hey, I'm at my house right now. These are the woods behind my house, and you can see it's raining out there, and we're not going to have a pool day. So I figured I'd spend it with some friends, my time here. But, you know, his latest video, wants to justify, you can hear frogs in the background, wants to justify windshield time and why it's so good that you can be behind the windshield of your car listening to podcasts about health and fitness and at the top of your game because you can listen to 8 or 10 hours a week while you're driving a fitness podcast and you can be an overall better person. Let me challenge you this. Oh, the other one that he said was, all these hours in your car, before you get in the car, make a list of all the people that you need to follow up with on the phone and call those people while you're driving on the road in the car. My challenge to you is this. If that's your line of thinking, if that's your thought pattern, that you need to get in the car to make phone calls to be productive, is what happens if you never got in the car? What happens if you're super highly effective with a Bluetooth headset? You can push a button and be in somebody else's house. That doesn't go well. Push a button and be in somebody else's house. That didn't go well. Push a button and be in somebody else's house. If you don't think that that's more effective than driving in your car, looking at who you're going to call, calling them, just driving and trying to dodge traffic and all that. I have a Tesla car that drives itself. It's an autopilot, but still, I would never want to be driving in my car and have my car do all my, you know, thinking for me while I'm trying to do my return phone calls and enjoying windshield time. It's not a very 2018 adept method of doing business when you know that there's an alternative that can be 10 to 100 times more effective. So if you want to justify driving in the car, you want to justify as much windshield time as you possibly can, I would argue that that is going toward what I said in the beginning. It's activity focused rather than results focused. We can sit there and drive around the neighborhood, drive around the entire state that you live in all day long. That activity will not result in sales being made. Why? Because it's not the right kind of activity. The only activity that matters is you talking to a qualified prospect every possible waking minute of your business selected time, whenever you choose to work. If you think that qualifying prospects time is driving there, driving on the interstate, the quote was even made, the more time I can drive on the interstate and spend in my car on the interstate, the better I am. Well, really? See, in my twisted world, where we do a couple million dollars a year, my thinking is, and I may be crazy here, but my thinking is, the more time you spend out of doing unproductive things, the better. The more time you spend not doing crappy things that are not belly to belly or face to face or screen to screen or phone to phone with an actual live qualified prospect, the better. So I don't know. There's a whole bunch of things coming out on the internet. There's a bunch of crap being spewed all over YouTube about this is better, that's better. All I want to do is save you some time. So I would challenge you, if you're going to be watching one of these brand new young gurus on the internet, have them whip out their 1099. And as soon as they do, I'll be happy to show you mine and see which method is actually better. Is it selling, you know, final expense over the phone? Is it cold calling all day yourself as an agent? Highly unproductive. Is it driving for as many hours as you can in a week to go knock on the door for somebody who's not expecting you and say, hi, I'm here. You spoke with my telemarketer. Well, here's my lead card. All those things are great, and they work well in 1950. The only thing that I would challenge is, if they're working so well, show the results of your labor. If everything that you're doing now as a current marketer is trying to spend more time on marketing to agents rather than producing the business, and you don't have the numbers to show that what you advocated as a business owner yourself actually works and there's no results for that, great, more power to you. Go be a marketer for somebody who's already proven it themselves. Again, team up with somebody else who's made millions of dollars per year in that business model, then you can be their marketing guy. You can walk into an agency owned by a family that's been successful doing things for years the 1950s way, and then all of a sudden say, hey, I'm going to be your agent recruiter guy. I'm going to go out there with fire and zeal and recruit every agent in the world. I don't have to have made it. My family did, but hey, I'm just going to be the recruiting agent guy. Or you can be the guy who's failed 15 times in their own business, fail. It doesn't work. It doesn't fail. And then go, you know what? I think I'm going to create a membership site and teach other agents how to do my successful system. Really? Did it fail the last time? Are you looking for an excuse not to be face-to-face with people? Are you looking for an excuse not to be selling all the time? So just be cautious of who you get your advice from. That's all I'm saying. Be cautious and look at the history. You'll know them by their fruit. And if their fruit is a successful, thriving business that they've actually built themselves based on the principles that they're trying to espouse that you should adopt in your own business, then great. My gosh, follow those people if they align with what you're doing. And my only challenge to you is this. If you're the agent who is wondering, am I in this alone? Am I the only one struggling with these things? Am I the only one having difficulty figuring out where I need to get the next prospect? You need to get together with a group of guys and group of girls who are going through that or went through that. Find somebody that you can team up with that you are, you know, compatible with as a friend. And that's what I loved about the St. Thomas event, loved about the Charleston event. Those Charleston guys that came here last year and the year before, they're still getting together online and sharing ideas. I think that's awesome. And so we're going to have a great opportunity for interaction like that in the Nashville event. We're going to have a great opportunity for members of Medicare Agent Training to get together in St. Louis in a couple of weeks at the Medicare convention. That Tuesday night, we're going to get together at a bar, for lack of a better term for getting together. And we can drink water, lemonade, beer, whatever you're going to have, and just interact with other people and share with people where you are in your business, what you're struggling with. Hey, who's found a good solution for this? Or who's found a good solution for that? Something about forsake not the gathering of the, what, how does that thing go? The gathering together and the fellowship of like-minded people. There's nothing better than that. We live in a virtual world. We live in a world where everything's done through keyboard, and I can be so cool through the keyboard. I can be so cool through a one-way YouTube video, but when challenged about your results, you can only do those kind of things in a face-to-face interaction. So I was really excited about the St. Thomas thing. We can, you know, kind of pull back the curtain and say, here's what's working. Here's our cost per lead. Here's what's going on online. Here's what I found that works really well. Some things that you just can't put out there in the public because then your competition goes and spins it and says, look what I discovered. Let me copy all of Chris's scripts on his website and put them on a new membership site like these guys have done. But I'm not bitter. I'm trying to learn how to forgive and be just the happy person that goes on forward, seeing these other people come behind with a copy of the same stuff. But anyway, I digress. I think it's really important, any chance we get, to get together, people coming together, sharing ideas, sharing their struggles, sharing what makes them real, and sharing what challenges that they're going through. And to those of you who've been successful, I challenge you equally, just as well, to come and share what's worked for you. And so many times on these trips, I'm always challenged by these people who are on the trips and say, why do you share what's working? Hey, I'll tell you a tip that I learned if you don't share with anybody else. Why do we always have to be like that? I mean, I understand that the market can get saturated if you go so niche specific in your marketing that you're sharing with people what you're doing on, you know, cost per click, lead acquisition on Google display ads, and you don't want to give that stuff up. But I mean, if you're having some successes with a carrier or a product is fantastic and they're going really well, let's share that kind of stuff. And that's what they do share, that these things. And I like sharing with agents things that I found out. Gary's asking, when is the Nashville event? If you've not looked at this Facebook page, I encourage you to do that. Kind of like hit the like button, but you really have to check in from time to time because the like button does not necessarily mean you're going to see all the stuff that happens. My dogs are about to bark at the neighbors because it came out. Sam, come here, boy. There's Sam. Say hi, Sam. The Nashville event's already sold out. We're trying to expand the availability of rooms right now and the meeting room size. So there'll be updates on that, but it'll be here on the Facebook page. The Facebook people, because I put it on Facebook before taking the time later in the day to send the email, it was already half sold out, and then 12 hours into it, the whole thing was sold out. We're trying to add a couple of seats here and there, but it's really going to be challenging. That's right, Mark. And listen, I want to leave you with one more encouragement this Saturday as I share time with you. And thank you for being here, and thanks for watching this if you're watching it later. There's a discussion forum on MedicareAgentTraining.com. And the thing that has always separated this membership from the insurance community at large is that the community at large, you can go get your license for about $100 here in my state anyway. You don't even have to take a class. You can just show up and take the test. So it's open to anybody and everybody, and that's both good and bad. The bad is that anybody can go in there and get an insurance license and tomorrow be an expert. And the good thing is that it's, you know, it's a low barrier for the good people who want to continue their education and continue to be a professional. So the people that are on Medicare agent training, you know that they paid to come in the front door, and we're already dealing with a higher caliber of person who's serious about their business, and they're going to keep it continuing. 10 times yesterday, and this is my time to be vulnerable and tell you the truth. 10 times yesterday, because of the fact that I had a $200 discount for the Nashville event for members of MedicareAgentTraining.com, 10 times yesterday I got support tickets from agents who were members before, and they let their membership lapse because they were using a prepaid debit card for, by God, they don't want it to be on a real credit card because then it could just go on forever and they don't know how to cancel. So get a prepaid debit card or whatever, and the membership lapsed. It gives four different chances before it actually lapses. It'll try it again on the future membership, and then it goes away. And so literally 10 times, the last one I just answered this morning because we were moving yesterday and we were busy, we're saying, hey, I was a member last year, but I lost the membership because my credit card expired or didn't work or whatever. So can I get the membership back at the price it was last year and not pay the initiation fee again, you know, which is supposed to weed out people jumping in and out, in and out, in and out. And so the answer, of course, had to be no, because last year, all those things were purged. The minute it's purged out of the system, you can't reactivate something that's already been deleted. But I go back to, if you're wanting support, if you want to share with other people, get involved in the discussion forums that are at MedicareAgentTraining.com. You're dealing with a higher caliber of agent, typically, who's paid to invest in their education, who wants to be a part of something bigger than themselves, and knows that you can't just be a lone individual in this business. You really need to interact with other people and find out what the latest and greatest things are that are happening out there. So go to our discussion forum, start a conversation if you've not seen one started on the topic that you're interested in. Join in the conversation on things that you are interested in and start sharing with other agents, both the positive things, which is great, and the experiences if you've had with carriers, if it's bad. We all need to know that. You know, there's some smaller carriers that I just don't write too much. And if there's something going on with them, other agents really want to know. And you can be trusted that you can understand that in this private forum, it's not going to be public. Like, hey, you know, Matt Singletary said that New Era is doing whatever with their policies now. You need to be real careful and knowing that the, you know, lawyer's going to show up at the door with a subpoena saying, did you say this in a public forum? It's not going to happen on our forum. So be honest and share what's going on. So I hope to see you all that can in Nashville. It's going to be a really good time. It's already full now. We're going to try to expand it this week. If the hotel can give us more space in that room, we don't want it to be too crowded. But then after that, we're going to be in St. Louis. I think it's June 12th, the night of the free event at the Medicare Supplement Conference. And if you see me in the hallway or something, please say hi. Let me know who you are. And it's nice to put a face with the name. So say hi if you're in St. Louis, and we'll get together. There's a member get together. It's going to be announced on the membership page at MedicareAgentTraining.com for the June 12th night of the free night in St. Louis. It'll be a good time to get together. And one last thing, if you do come to our event in Nashville, or you come to any future event, really anything, and I need to put this in the small print there so it's plain to see, and I will today. Please don't come there trying to recruit other agents. It's kind of like not cool. We had a gentleman come to our Dallas event last year and try to recruit everybody that showed up there. It was like 30, 35 people that came, members that were just in town for the Medicare conference, and tried to recruit everybody on this whiz-bang dental plan. That's not cool. It's kind of our event, not yours. So please don't come there and try to recruit agents on whatever it is. We even had somebody do that in St. Thomas. It's just kind of an industry faux pas to come to somebody else's event that they've taken time to put together and then try to recruit other agents and say, hey, do you have this? I've got a best contract, but come with me and do this kind of thing. That's kind of the thing that gives insurance agents a bad name. It really leaves a sour taste in everybody's mouth. If you're coming there to contribute, that's freaking awesome. If somebody asks you, hey, who do you use for this? That's awesome. Answer them, help them. But to literally go around the room and try to prospect insurance agents is just, as you'll learn as you go in this business, it's not a real cool thing to do at other people's events. I've never tried to do that in the past. We'll never will again. I'm speaking at this event 2 weeks in Omaha, and I'm not going to recruit anybody, not going to mention that I even have an agency, not going to mention that we have a website or anything. I'm trying to go there to bring value because I've been asked to do that. And I think if we all focus on going to these things to see what we can give, ultimately we walk away having learned a lot, having received a lot, with the mindset that you're going there to help other people. So I encourage you, if you do come to these events, please come with an expectation that you're going to walk away with more than you came there with. But also, really, this is a personal request from me. Look for somebody who's not doing as well as you. Look for somebody who's in a struggling place in their business. And I challenge you this. Try to be a light to that person. Try to be the one person that encourages that other agent. I've already admitted to this here in this live stream, how socially awkward I am. So the chance of me walking up to somebody and just, you know, patting them on the back and saying, hey, great to see you. Let me encourage you where you are in your business and all this kind of stuff. I'm not phony like that. I'm not phony into the setting where I can just be a socially adept chameleon and just adapt to any social setting. I'm very awkward in that setting. But that said, if you make a relationship with somebody at these events, try to encourage each other, really. Try to see where the other person is weak, and help, together you can maybe join forces and find a resource that you can be of benefit to somebody else. And let me leave this last thing on Saturday, and I keep getting other ideas to talk about, but I'll just leave this last thing. So many times in the last 24 hours, support tickets have come in and said, why can't you give me, you know, the extra seat in the back of the room, or I'll volunteer if I can just sit in the hallway, or if I can sit on the floor, and I just want to be at the Nashville event. And sometimes I have like, no kidding. Yesterday I came home, there's 40 something. I can't remember the number. There's 40 new support tickets that I couldn't answer because I was gone for 4 hours helping Eugene move his house. And it was 2 hour drive each way. So I guess we were gone 5 or 6 hours. Anyway, the point is, when I'm going through and answering support tickets, I had an agent really offended yesterday because of the fact that I answered the question with, I don't know. And if I don't know the answer to a question, and that particular question was, hey, what's the latest reimbursement from AT&T on 2018 HRA reimbursement rules? What is that the latest thing? And I honestly did not know. I've not written one yet this year to know of any changes in what we posted on the AT&T thing last year. And so by saying that I don't know, this agent was like, well, I always get my feelings hurt whenever I write to you because you're always so curt in your reply. And I get the feeling that I'm bothering you. And I get the feeling that this, and I get the feeling that that. Listen, sometimes I don't have the capability of communicating feelings back in a support ticket. If you ask me a question and I don't know the answer, I'm going to say, I don't know. And it might be just as short as that. So if that offends you, I'm really sorry, but I'm going to be honest and I'm going to just stick to the facts, ma'am, like Joe Friday used to do. Hell, I was a cop. Give me a break. All I want to tell you is, here's the answer. I don't know. Or here's the answer. Go here. Or did you Google search that? Because like the AT&T thing did, I said, I don't know. Then he wrote back how offended he was. So I went on to Google and typed in AT&T HRA 2018 reimbursement and instantly found all the posts for it, including the letters to the members. It's all right there in a Google search. So why did you write to me anyway if you could have Google searched it? But my saying, no, I don't know, apparently that was offensive to some. So if my responses are really quick, it's because I have a whole bunch of things to answer back and I'm just going to give you the facts back and I'm not going to put it in a flowery language. So I apologize. It's just who I am. I'm a weak person and I've got lots of failures. And that's one of them. I don't communicate in flowery language like, thank you so much for being a member of MedicareAgentTraining.com. Now that you're a member, let me take the time to answer your question. We don't have the information currently available in 2018 as we've not updated the post that we did on July 17th, 2017. But if you find the answer, please let us know. We'll share it with the membership. Have a great day. Again, thanks for your membership. I don't have the time to type all that flowery stuff out. I wish I did. I wish I had the time to do a video reply to everybody and say, hey man, how you doing? Hope everything's going great. Just don't have the time because I'm literally running 4 businesses here, all trying to help people where they're at. And they're all doing well if I keep a well-oiled machine, which is why I have support tickets in the first place. So anyway, I appreciate you. Thank you for hanging out with me this Saturday morning. To recap, but I want to encourage you, do activity, but do activity that's productive. If whatever activity that you're doing is not resulting in you talking to live prospects every single day, then whatever you're doing, I encourage you to pivot and go somewhere else. At least diversify what you're doing to the point that you're talking to live prospects every single day. If the result from what you're doing in activity is not resulting in talking to people all day long, then what you're doing is wrong, and I encourage you to find another avenue. There's all different kinds of avenues that get prospects. There's billboards, there's direct mail, there's creating your own mail, there's doing your own cold calling, which I don't recommend. There's getting other people to cold call for you at $3 an hour. There is Facebook leads, there's Google leads, there's YouTube ads, there's everything you can do, YouTube videos, there's writing articles, there's going face-to-face to financial planners, which we covered. There's going to property and casualty agencies. There's door-knocking CPAs and talking to them about what you can do. All these things you can do to generate free or low-cost prospects, every single one of them works. Every time we go to Rome or we go to Ireland, we go to Canada, we go to Switzerland, we went to Italy, every time we go there and we're talking to other producers, guess what they say? I do business by doing this. And we're like, what the hell? We met a guy in Chicago who goes to all the public libraries, cost him absolutely nothing to do live interactive sessions with 50 to 100 seniors every single time. Wrote 400 apps last year. How did he do it? For free. Cost him absolutely nothing. By being creative, thinking outside the box. Anything that you try in this business can result in prospects, but if what you've already tried does not result in prospects, for heaven's sake, for your bank account's sake, do something else. That may not be your strength. If you tried video on YouTube and you're getting no traction from it, pivot. Go do something else or be productive long enough to learn what it is that you need to do in your video so it is profitable. But don't be settled to just doing activity if the activity is not resulting in talking to prospects. That's the name of the game. There's a whole bunch of big pillars in this business that have to work together for this thing to work. But one of the top pillars is, first, mindset. If you don't believe it, it's never going to happen. Secondly, is you have to have people to talk to. So find what works in your business to get you in front of prospects. They all work to some extent. Find what works for you and something that's in alignment with your strengths and something that you hope to do in the future that you can do long term. Then you can start scaling that method and diversifying into other ones, and you have multiple pillars, multiple legs for your stool, and you're not going to fall over and tip off and fall when one of those things is taken away from you, because things change all the time. This business works. It's worth it. I encourage you to stay in it until the residual outweighs what you could possibly spend, because only in this niche can that happen. God bless you and your business. I hope you have great prosperity for 2018. I hope to meet as many of you as I can in person. And I want you to be encouraged. This business works. The system works. The only question is you have to find your spot in it. Have a great rest of your weekend. I'm Chris Westphal. Bye-bye, y'all. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Senior Agent Podcast. For more information and other episodes, visit senioragentpodcast.com.